Flattener number 5. Outsourcing Y2K. Until recently, India was what is known in the banking world as the second buyer. You always want to be the second buyer in business, the person who buys the hotel or the golf course or the shopping mall after the first owner has gone bankrupt and its assets are being sold by the bank at 10 cents on the dollar. Well, the first buyers of all the cable laid by all those fiber optic cable companies, which thought they were going to get endlessly rich in an endlessly expanding digital universe, were their American shareholders. When the bubble burst, they were left holding either worthless or much diminished stock. The Indians, in effect, got to be the second buyers of the fiber optics companies. They didn't actually purchase the shares. They just benefited from the overcapacity in fiber optics, which meant that they and their American clients got to use all that cable practically for free. This was a huge stroke of luck for India, and to a lesser degree for China, the former Soviet Union, and Eastern Europe. Because what is the history of modern India? In short, India is a country with virtually no natural resources that got very good at doing one thing: mining the brains of its own people by educating a relatively large slice of its elites in the sciences, engineering, and medicine. In 1951, to his enduring credit, Jawaharlal Nehru, India's first prime minister, set up the first of India's 7 Indian Institutes of Technology, IIT, in the eastern city of Kharagpur. In the 50 years since then, hundreds of thousands of Indians have competed to gain entry and then graduate from these IITs and their private sector equivalents. It's like a factory, churning out and exporting some of the most gifted engineering, computer science, and software talent on the globe. Because its often dysfunctional political system, coupled with Nehru's preference for pro-Soviet socialist economics, ensured that up until the mid-1990s, India could not provide good jobs for most of those talented engineers. So, America got to be the second buyer of India's brain power. If you were a smart, educated Indian, the only way you could fulfill your potential was by leaving the country and, ideally, going to America, where some 25,000 graduates of India's top engineering schools have settled since 1953, greatly enriching America's knowledge pool thanks to their education, which was subsidized by Indian taxpayers. And then, along came Netscape, the 1996 telecom deregulation, and Global Crossing and its fiber optic friends. The world got flattened, and that whole deal got turned on its head. India could never have afforded to pay for the bandwidth to connect brainy India with high-tech America, so American shareholders paid for it. It is fun to talk to Indians who were around at precisely the moment when American companies started to discover they could draw on India's brain power in India. One of them is Vivek Paul, now the president of Wipro, the Indian software giant. In many ways, the Indian information technology outsourcing revolution began with General Electric coming over. We're talking the late 1980s and early 90s. At the time, Texas Instruments was doing some chip design in India. Some of their key designers in America were Indians, and they basically let them go back home and work from there, using the rather crude communications networks that existed then to stay in touch. At that time, I was heading up the operations for GE Medical Systems in Bangalore. GE's chairman, Jack Welch, came to India in 1989 and was completely taken by India as a source of intellectual advantage for GE. Jack would say, "India is a developing country with a developed intellectual capability." He saw a talent pool that could be leveraged. So he said, "We spend a lot of money doing software. Couldn't we do some work for our IT department here?" Because India had closed its market to foreign technology companies like IBM, Indian companies had started their own factories to make PCs and servers, and Welch felt that if they could do it for themselves, they could do it for GE. GE decided to sink roots, starting a joint development project with Wipro. By the late 1990s, though, Lady Luck was starting to shine on India from two directions. The fiber optic bubble was starting to inflate, linking India with the United States, and the Y2K computer crisis, the so-called millennium bug, started gathering on the horizon. It meant that a huge number of existing computers, newer ones were being made with better clocks, needed to have their internal clocks and related systems adjusted. Otherwise, it was feared, they would shut down, creating a global crisis, given how many different management systems, from water to air traffic control, were computerized. This computer remediation work was a huge, tedious job. Who in the world had enough software engineers to do it all? Answer? India, with all the techies from all those IITs and private technical colleges and computer schools. And so, with Y2K bearing down on us, America and India started dating. And that relationship became a huge flattener because it demonstrated to so many different businesses that the combination of the PC, the internet, and fiber optic cable had created the possibility of a whole new form of collaboration and horizontal value creation. Outsourcing. Any service, call center, business support operation, or knowledge work that could be digitized could be sourced globally to the cheapest, smartest, or most efficient provider. Using fiber optic cable-connected workstations, Indian techies could get under the hood of your company's computers and do all the adjustments, even though they were located halfway around the world. By early 2000, the Y2K work started to wind down, but then a whole new driver of business emerged. E-commerce. The dot-com bubble had not yet burst, engineering talent was scarce, and demand from dot-coms was enormous. Outsourcing from America to India as a new form of collaboration exploded. India didn't benefit only from the dot-com boom, it benefited even more from the dot-com bust. That is the real irony. The boom laid the cable that connected India to the world, and the bust made the cost of using it virtually free, and also vastly increased the number of American companies that would want to use that fiber optic cable to outsource knowledge work to India.